Monsanto of St. Louis wants to become Bayer of Leverkusen, Germany. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. This could be the big merger of 2016. Bayer of aspirin and biotech fame is buying Monsanto, the farm chemical and seed company, for about $128 a share. That confirmation came this morning. This values the whole deal at $66 billion. Let's go to our partner newsroom in London, where we find BBC business reporter Theo Leggett, who's following this genetically modified merger. Hello there, Theo.
Hi, David.
Bayer of Germany tends to be focused on healthcare. It's not the only part of its portfolio, but that's the center of it. This would be a bit of a shift.
It would be a shift, but a relatively logical shift. Because yes, Bayer is known for producing drugs like aspirin and other medicines, but it also has a well-established pesticide business. And the logic behind the deal is if you include pesticides alongside what Monsanto's famous for, which of course is genetically engineered seeds and that kind of thing, you can basically create a one-stop shop for farmers to increase production and increase yield. So that is the logic behind the deal.
European consumers have traditionally been skeptical, shall we say, about genetically modified food in particular. Now it'll be a European company with this that owns a lot of this technology.
Bayer is thinking of this as a global business where this kind of offering, this sort of joined up offering of pesticides and genetically modified seeds, may well be welcomed. So yes, this will cause a lot of political controversy in Europe and particularly in Germany. But Bayer is looking at the big picture and thinking about the global markets.
All right. BBC business reporter Theo Leggett in London, using for us the American pronunciation of Bayer instead of Bayer. Theo, thank you.
Always a pleasure, David.
The Wall Street Journal has been reviewing executive pay, the number two highest pay for top company brass in the pharmaceutical industry. Turns out it's Mylan, the folks who brought you the $300 EpiPen, the life-saving device with the generic medicine inside. The Journal says Mylan paid its top five officers $300 million a year. Johnson & Johnson's executive pay follows closely behind. Number one for pay in the pharmaceutical industry is Regeneron, a New York-based biotech company that has an anti-cholesterol drug. What could you buy for $450? How about a credit card? Somehow, the new Chase Sapphire Reserve card with an annual fee of 450 smackers has become a viral hit. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, the fancy card has found a market among 20 and 30-somethings.
The Chase Sapphire Reserve card was so popular out of the gate that the company actually ran out of the metal alloy used to make the cards. Heck, people are even uploading unboxing videos.
Ta-da! And then here's the card.
So what's going on? Well, for one, Chase is offering new customers 100,000 points worth up to $1,500 in free travel, much more than rival premium cards such as Amex's Platinum card and Citi's Prestige card.
So it's slightly different from premium cards of the past.
Andrew Davidson is with the market research firm Mintel. He says the travel focus is a big hit among millennials who value experiences over status.
It's not just about relying on the cachet of owning a premium card, but it's sort of demonstrating this value for money that I think appeals to younger consumers.
But others see a hard ceiling for this market.
Those cards aren't for everybody. I personally would never spend $450 for an annual fee.
Bill Hardikoff is the CEO of LowCards.com, a consumer site for credit cards. After the sign-up premium is spent, he says many people simply move on to other credit cards. In Washington, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And speaking of credit card points, they're a bit like a good bagel or a good baguette. They tend not to get better with age. Mark Orlowski runs a nonprofit by day, but by night he becomes the grandmaster of arbitraging credit card, frequent flyer, and frequent hotel points. Welcome to you, Mark.
Good morning, David.
You what? Recommend that people don't just hoard their frequent flyer miles? Because what? They often expire.
Frequent flyer miles, hotel points, they really only go one direction typically, which is they become less valuable. And you're better off spending them when you have an opportunity, assuming you're getting a decent value for each of those points. But the good news is, you know, you can extend their life. And that's a distinct advantage of many of these points.
All right, so what's a move to extend the lives of your expiring frequent flyer points?
Let's say you shop online. Maybe you've gone to Banana Republic or J.Crew or really any online website, Target, for example, and you want to buy something. There's something called shopping portals. And when you click through before going to, say, the Target website or the J.Crew website, you can click through this other website to that website. Everything will be the same price as before. But once you make your purchase, you might get, let's say, 2x or 3x or even 5x the points that you spend back no matter what credit card you use. And therefore extend the life by a year or 2 years or even longer, depending upon whatever the rules of a specific airline program is.
Wait, I want to understand this. By accumulating extra points, that extends the existing points?
For most airlines, especially in the U.S., the miles don't necessarily expire. They just need to be sort of extended by incurring any kind of activity. So that would be redeeming miles for a ticket or a hotel room, for example, or earning new miles through a credit card or by using one of these cashback portals and reset the expiration date by a full year or 18 months.
There's also this, this gymnastics maneuver where I could use my credit card points, the ones that accumulated based on my spending, and use that to preserve the airline points?
The major credit card companies like Amex with their membership rewards points or Chase with their points or Citi with their points, thank you points, that is, let you transfer to a variety of different airlines and hotels. And they usually transfer one-to-one. And so you just need to transfer literally 1,000 points over, let's say, from your Chase Sapphire account to Southwest Airlines. And you would reset the Southwest expiration period by, I think it is, 2 years.
Points maven Mark Orlowski travels a lot for his nonprofit, the Sustainable Endowments Institute, where he likes to keep his costs down. Mark, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.